today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we've had a little bit of a break. We've had some busy scheduling things happening, so we haven't had any new episodes in the last couple weeks.
Right.
So we're kind of wanting to get back on track here.
And, we're ready to go.
And begin a new series that we want to talk about. The title of this one is What Is Our Problem? One of the biggest mistakes, I think, not only being made in our culture, but increasingly in our church, is the inability and resistance to address what the human problem is.
Right.
To get to the root of the issue and the core of the problem. It's in human nature to deal with surface issues. We just want to deal with the surface, because if we get below the core, we really might have to deal with something. And at the end of the day, what we want to talk about as we lead into this whole new avenue of discussion is we're talking about a worldview issue here. How do I view the world when it comes to the problem that we see here? What is our problem, and how do I view it in my particular worldview that I have?
Right. I like, and our family likes detective stories.
Right.
And very great detectives have great, very great powers of observation. They use those powers of observation to look at a crime scene, whatever that crime may be, and to see things other people don't see, and then gather that evidence and put it together so that it comes out with an answer. What we want to do is look at some evidences today. We're not going to finish today, but we want to look at that evidence and come to a point, to a door.
Right.
And when we get through, we trust that our listeners will see something of where we're going with this.
Well, and the three things we want to look at today, actually, that are evidence of our problem.
Right.
Because we're asking, what is our problem?
Right.
So three things we want to look at today is, number one, normal evidences.
Right.
Number two, the unusual evidences. Mm-hmm. And then number three, the personal evidences. So just kind of starting into, what are the normal evidences of our problem?
Well, Jesus spoke to this in the Sermon on the Mount when he encouraged his followers and those who were listening to him to not treasure up for themselves treasures on earth. And then he told them why. There's a reason why you don't want to treasure up things on earth, where moths and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where none of these things can break through. And there are three things right there that are normal parts of life and normal evidences that we have a greater problem.
Something that everyone can see, everyone experiences, and it's irrespective of persons.
Exactly. See, he talks about the creatures, moths. Moths represent a lot of creatures that infest life. Termites. Moths will tear up your clothing, and if you don't do something to keep them out, they will get to your clothes and they will destroy them. Termites, we were talking before we came on the air, and when I resigned my pastorate, I had several thousand books and I boxed them up. Well, then when we moved in the Henderson area, we put a lot of our stuff in one of my dad's barns, ironically, because Jesus talks about the man who put stuff up in barns and then built bigger barns. And so we put in one of his barns. Well, I went back in there to get some things out. And I thought, well, leave it there. My books are my prized possession. You know, any pastor, any preacher wants books. And went in there and opened up a box, and termites had gotten in the books. Expensive, very nice reference books were destroyed. The moths, as it were, the termites got in. The moths represent something of the creatures that are in evidence, part of the normal part of life. These things are all around us.
And they're working against creation itself, really. Which was not intended at the very beginning.
Right. But the creatures are working against us. We're working against them. We have sort of this adversarial relationship.
There's a war going on. Yeah. Just a natural conflict that is happening in creation. Yeah.
And then you have the corruption of the world. He talks about moths and rust, which corrupts. Rust represents different forms of corruption, just decay.
Right.
Even when archaeologists go in or historians go in, they find something that documents that are books that have been around for a long time. They may have been closed up somewhere, but there's dust. Where did the dust come from? And then they try to look at these documents, and if they're not very careful, even when they are very careful, they just break up in their hands. What they were going to see as a historical document just falls apart in their hands. Why? Because things decay, things right. break down. We call it oxidation. It's the normal part of the breakdown of life. One of the laws of thermodynamics is things don't go from disorder to order. They go from order to disorder. We see that corruption process. And then he talks about criminals, the criminal aspect here. Thieves break through and steal. That is a normal part of life. Any time we leave our homes, we don't know if what we have worked hard for will be there, because somebody who doesn't want to work may take it.
We're talking about worldview here, and I think this is something that really can hit on the core of it. You know, we look at the cars we buy, the houses we buy, the things we have, all have a way to try to protect them.
Yeah.
So at the very core, people who say they don't believe in the problem that human beings have, actually they do believe in it because they want to keep people from stealing the car and stealing the stuff in the house and stuff like that. They believe it. They just don't realize they believe it.
They just don't own up to it. I mean, they're actually
By their actions, they do, because they've created a way to protect their investments.
They don't morally own up to it. Right. Yes, that's true. That is true.
All right, so we have the normal evidences, but what about the unusual evidences?
Well, the unusual can seem, they're normal things that just seem to us and come across as very unusual. For instance, they're the natural catastrophes of the world. And just in the last few years, we've seen an earthquake hit Japan, and then just recently Ecuador, a place where our family has been, and you and Micah have both ministered. Ecuador got hit pretty hard. Places getting hit hard by earthquakes, sinkholes.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just hear the news,
and you have no clue where they can come from.
And five cars went into the earth in a sinkhole. Right. Where did it come? You know, natural catastrophes. The earth. And the Bible speaks of the earth as groaning and travailing. And so we see this around us, you know. And we don't know. And Christians aren't exempt from any of these things. Something could come through, a tornado, and we're going to talk about that, the climate of the world.
The unpredictable
climate. The unpredictable climate.
Tornadoes. Even though we try to do it.
Yes. Tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons. Just recently we had this storm come through. I was working in Owensboro in a store there, and more hail than I've ever seen at one time. Bigger hail than I've ever seen coming down. And you're in the roofing business, and you've been,
mopping, a blessing for us.
Mopping up the mess after that. And this is the kind of thing, the unpredictable. They're unusual. We don't have hailstorms every day. We don't have hurricanes every day, nor do we have tornadoes every day. They're unusual, but they're natural disasters. And then there's just the incredible confusion of the world. I mean, you have to be blind not to see. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't even have to have any kind of a theocentric worldview to see the world as a ball of confusion, as the Temptations used to say.
It's interesting you say that, because really we're at this point in our society where we have an inability to respond to crisis due to political correctness.
Yeah.
You can't even take the hurt in the Orlando situation without turning it in some political, even moral manifesto that you want to try to build off on.
But not against or not addressing the actual thing that happened, but addressing something that you want to happen and using that to your end.
Instead of just grieving the tragedy for what it is and the hurt that it was and the tragic loss of life.
And seeing the cause of it for what it is, the evil that is there. And so we have this just incredible inability to see or think through things clearly. There is national and international confusion. So these are some of the unusual evidences.
So we have normal evidences.
Yeah.
We have the unusual evidences that we're seeing, and we're building towards something here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are listening probably are figuring out where we're going with this. But at the very end, we have the personal evidences of a problem.
And people tend to see a lot of these things as other people's problems. Something happened in Orlando. It didn't happen here in Henderson. Well, it could happen here in Henderson.
Very well could.
You know, but we don't think of it as personal, but these things we're about to talk about are very personal. The first is just trials. Just the trials of life. They can be financial, not enough to pay the bills, not knowing how you're going to make ends meet. Probably many of our listeners have had that experience. We have had that experience. Illness can be anything from a cold, which can be debilitating, to cancer, which can be terminal. Right. So social trials, tensions. Rejection of others, tensions, yeah. Exactly. And we see some of that in the broader aspect of racial tensions, ethnic tensions, and that sort of thing. But just personal conflicts.
I don't know. You can't put this as an emphatic statement. But I think in our time and history of our society, we live at a very tensious time, a very tensual time. I don't know if those are good words, but I'm making them up. I mean, people would say, well, the 50s and 60s had a lot of tension in them. But I think we now have a new tension that we've created that did not have to be there.
Well, the 50s and 60s are being revisited with impunity, an incredible exaggeration of the tension of then, yes, and so we have this worldwide tension, and professional. We go on with the trials into professional problems, vocational problems. We were talking earlier. Somebody can work themselves, pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak, work their way to the top. I know a fella in Home Depot, started out as the lot guy, just bringing in baskets, and now he's a district manager, and I'm sure his plans are to be president of the company one day. But people do that. Then they get up to the top, and the board calls them in and says, we're downsizing, we're changing direction, and we're doing away with your position.
Happens every day.
Tragedy. Trials. Tragedies next. We see tragedies like people getting blown away during a night of entertainment.
And it's irrespective of persons.
It is.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, non-Christian.
Yeah. It doesn't matter
whatever you are.
What community
right.
in society you're a part of, which of these divided communities we now
right.
see, you are not exempt. Tragedies come to us personally. Death, illness, house burning down, car wreck. We were talking about earlier, John MacArthur and a message was talking about a missionary family that came to their church, and they left. They had two older daughters and a son. They had left, and someone hit the car, killed the two daughters, didn't kill the son, didn't hurt the parents all that badly. He asked a few hours later what the father was thinking after some time for reflection. He said, well, I'm thinking that I'm grateful that the Lord allowed my unconverted son to live. Mm-hmm. And took my two daughters just to be with him. And so, tragedy. But, in the end, the most personal of these is temptation.
Probably the most important.
It is. It's temptation. Personal temptation. One person, whether they are a follower of Christ or not, doesn't know something of what temptation is.
Mm.
The drawing to do that which we know is not right or wrong. That moral tension in the mind, in the heart, that goes with being human. A lot of people don't explain it as personal sin or a sin nature, but they see it. They explain it another way.
Everyone experiences it.
That's exactly right. And I don't care who it is, what their political ideology or philosophy is, they know something of this. They may explain it another way. They may come up with a moral relativism. When it comes down to it, they understand the right and wrong thing. If a guy's going to shoot your wife, you know, you see that as wrong.
So what you're saying is our problem is sin.
Well, we've actually come to the door that we talked about
earlier. The doorway of our destination.
Yeah, and on the door is a three-letter word, and it's sin. We're going to walk through that door here in the next few weeks. But yes, the problem is sin.
So we're really beginning now to ask the questions that will transition us into the following weeks is why do we not deal with it? Maybe why should we deal with it, and why does the world not see it? Those
kind of
questions.
Where did it come from? Yeah.
What is this thing that we call sin that is our world problem?
Well, this confused world, by the way, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, this confused world needs somebody who has a clear biblical answer to the problem,
even logical.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it may not be a good thing to say to the people who are unbelievers because they don't get it, but it is a biblically sound, logical reason for the problems that we face today.
Yeah, well, years ago I heard Adrian Rogers say that he told a fella, the world only has three problems, sin, sorrow, and death. He said the fella went off, came back, said went off later, and said, no, that's not right. He said, well, you go think about it. He came back later and said, what do you think? He said, there's only three problems, sin, sorrow, and death. The guy agreed. Truth is, there's one problem, and it's sin.
Mm.
And we want to talk about that some more.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time today, but we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.